From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
They're among the most popular and good-for-you vegetables, but brassicas, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, and the like, can also be a little tricky to grow unless you start with the right variety, get the timing right, and have a preemptive action plan to outsmart pests. How to accomplish all that is our subject today, but first these messages.
Programming and underwriting support from Brushwood Nursery. For more than 20 years, Brushwood Nursery has shipped the finest selection of clematis and other vines all over the United States with full gallon-sized plant and free shipping. Their website is full of beautiful pictures and information on growing clematis. Brushwoodnursery.com. Programming and underwriting support from Garden Tool Company. Garden Tool Company's wide selection of heirloom quality tools for your gardening passion is backed by outstanding customer service, fast shipping, and ongoing support. GardenToolCompany.com.
My guest today is Steve Bellavia, who joined the team at Johnny's Selected Seeds in 1993, where today he's product manager in their research department for peppers, broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, and Chinese cabbage. And our topic today includes those last four. And I know that with his help, I'm looking forward to increased success in this year's vegetable garden. So welcome, Steve. Right in time. We need the help.
Great. Thanks, Margaret. Glad to be on the show.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm always, you go to the garden center at this time of year, and we all want everything to fill up the vegetable beds and so forth. But a lot of times the starts, you know, the vegetable seedlings, cell packs of seedlings, some of the plastic labels may just basically say broccoli or cauliflower or whatever. They may not even have a variety name. I think we have to do better than that to have good success, don't we?
I think so, yes. It's better when you can choose the particular varieties you want to address your particular needs as a gardener.
Yeah. So maybe let's start with broccoli because you say broccoli and people visualize the big giant green heads at the supermarket or whatever, or the farm stand, but I don't know. I don't even grow those kinds. Do you?
I don't either. They're fine and I like them, but the reason I don't is, there are several reasons. One is you get one big head and you cut it and you'll get side shoots definitely, but eventually they'll kind of peter out a little bit. And also, I think the flavor of broccoli is good, but I think there are some of the other types of mini broccolis that are better.
Mm-hmm.
So what I usually end up growing at home are what we call at Johnny's mini broccolis. And basically, they're often crosses of a standard broccoli with an Asian Gai Lan, which is or Chinese kale, which is a real small floreted variety. And those varieties are sweeter, so if you grow these mini broccolis we have, such as Noble Jade, and there's another one, Condolantis, you get a smaller floret, and when you cut them, they'll keep coming back faster. And another thing that's really good about those is that they can take heat a lot better than the large-headed varieties. So when you have a summer day that is really hot and you have long days, you'll get a better, sweeter crop from the mini broccolis than you
right.
will with the big broccolis.
Right. And I think I'm a longtime user of I love Johnny's has so much information, what they call the grower's library, and I'll give a link to it with the transcript and so forth. But, and you've written a number of the articles, contributed a lot to the grower's library over the years. But, you know, these sort of expert how-to articles, and I read one recently about sort of these different categories of quote broccolis, and some are like broccoli rabe and some leaf broccoli, and like you just said, the sort of more Chinese mini type. And I mean, there really is a diversity, and yet again, if we go to the garden center in spring to get some quote broccoli, it's probably going to be the basic larger head kind of a thing.
Correct. And yep, and some of the ones you had mentioned, Margaret, like the leaf broccoli, those you would just direct seed those and grow them like a normal green, and then you could bunch them, and you could cook them or saute them and stir fry like you would any other kind of green. The broccoli rabes are a bit more interesting, I think, too. Those are a specialty from Italy, and they basically, you have a small floret, and then it's quite leafy around them, and they have a slightly bitter taste that may not be so good raw, but if you saute those with a little bit of garlic and oil and have them as a side dish with pasta or other meals, they're really good. That bitterness, when it cooks, becomes quite pleasant.
Mm-hmm. The leaf broccoli you mentioned, I've heard people say spigarello, and I've heard people say spigariello. I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's a fun plant to grow.
It is, and it's easy. And that's a specialty that's particularly grown in southern Italy. So, yeah, we grow that in our trials every year, and I've taken that home sometime. And just like with the broccoli rabe, I've sautéed that with a little garlic and had it on as a side dish.
Yeah, and it just, like it sounds, leaf broccoli, you kind of are harvesting these leaves. Eventually, it does get some little florets, as I recall. But it's really more for the greens, isn't it?
Correct. And if you keep it cut, it'll just keep producing greens for a long time, just like a lot of other greens.
Right. So are some of the ones we've been talking about, or is it within each group, there are varieties that are better for early when it's a little bit cooler, or the heat of summer or fall as it's cooling down again? I mean, is that a factor too in choosing what we want to grow?
It is for the large size heading broccolis, definitely.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Okay. For the mini broccolis, those, they have good heat tolerance, and you could plant those from spring to summer, and all of the crops will usually do pretty well, though. Of course, they'll do a little bit better when it's cooler weather.
Right. So I don't know if, because we're going to talk about a couple of other brassicas, a couple of other cousins of broccoli, I don't know if we want to talk about growing how-to and some basic pest prevention now before we go on to the next crop, because I don't know if it's sort of, there's some general advice that you have for us on all of them, or what would be the best way to go about that?
There is general advice, and what I would say for all of these brassica crops, what I like to do in my home garden is use the spunbond row covers to put over the crops. That will exclude flea beetles, which are really damaging, particularly to seedlings. And it'll also take care of cabbage loopers and other type of butterfly and moth pests that can really do quite a bit of damage to a brassica crop. I find that to be the easiest way to control them rather than have to go out and treat them. If you don't use row covers, then there are many different organic products that you can spray on the crops, but you'll have to spray them repeatedly that way, and it's just a lot more work.
So with the Agribon or another fabric, the spun fabric, like you're saying, timing is everything, right? I mean, you don't wait a week or two to put it on, do you?
No,
after transplanting.
Direct seed or transplant, you put it on the same day, and you want to tuck in the edges and then cover them with soil so there's nowhere for the insects to get in. And there are different weights to those fabrics. There is a lightweight one called Agribon 15, and then there's another one, Agribon 19. The 15 is really good for brassicas. It'll protect from insect damage, but it doesn't increase the heat very much. And for brassicas, being a cool weather crop, they'll do much better staying cooler. The Agribon 19 would be more for crops like tomatoes or peppers or melons, where you want to exclude insects and also increase the temperature underneath. So the brassicas, go for the 15 weight Agribon.
Okay. So you did mention, in terms of other sort of general growing advice, that's some good pest prevention advice. But with the general growing, you mentioned the spigarello or the leaf broccoli we could direct sow. But with the rest, are you recommending we start seedlings, and do we do successions, and any other sort of getting started growing advice?
Yeah, generally we transplant most of those crops. Mm-hmm. And the seed's relatively expensive, so most growers do that. Also, you can get the plants right where you want them in the garden. So we tend to do that. It's more predictable. And as far as for succession planting, probably every 3 to 4 weeks is good. That'll give you a crop, a new crop coming in when the old crop is going out. If you, you can also go a little bit longer than that, you'll just, it'll just be diminishing returns.
Right. Okay.
And another thing about growing these crops, you have to make sure you give them adequate water and reasonably good fertility. Brassicas, they need water and they need good fertility for, to perform well.
Right. Okay. All right. So those are some important, and I think the pest control thing is just, I mean, it's almost not worth it because it always strikes me. It's as if you just put up a big flare or something saying, hey, brassica pests, I've just planted some. I mean, they really, the cabbage white butterfly for me is the biggest one that, that produces the, you know, imported cabbage worm is the larval phase. And, you know, that's like, they just show up in 10 minutes.
That's a problem here, and for us, at least where we are, the flea beetle pressure is so high that if I were to transplant brassica seedlings in my garden at home, there's a fair chance they'd get completely eaten and destroyed. There'd be no crop at all if I didn't cover them.
Right, right, right. So what we want everyone to know is you're not doing something wrong if you have those pests. It's that you're doing something wrong if you don't protect your crop right away the minute you sow or transplant. So
correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So what about cabbage? I mean, here's another one where, frankly, unless I want to make coleslaw maybe once or twice a year, I don't really want a big giant purple or green bowling ball. But what about cabbage?
Yeah, cabbage, it's interesting because before I started working at Johnny's, I just thought about cabbages being green and red and never really thought too much about it. But it's, to me now, it's one of my favorite crops once I've explored it more. There are a lot of different types of cabbages that can be used for different uses. There are some of the real small green ones, which are real early fresh market types. And those ones are great. There's a variety called Tierra, another one called Faro. They have really thin leaves and they're sweet. And those ones, they tolerate heat well, so you could grow those by planting them in the spring and harvesting in the summer, and you could really use them like you would lettuce in the summer. And you, we all know trying to grow lettuce in the summer can be difficult. They bolt and you can get bitterness, but the Tierra and the Faro cabbages really maintain their sweetness very well.
So the leaves are thinner, you're saying? So it's not that really thick texture of a cabbage that I might make coleslaw out of, for instance. It's not like where I have... Yeah.
Because they're a little bit thinner, because the heads are smaller, they're quite tender and tasty.
Huh. Oh, interesting.
And another one of my favorites is, it's called Tender Sweet, which is a flat cabbage. And the flat cabbages are really... popular in Asia. And in Asia, they tend to cook most of their cabbage. And they grow a lot of flat ones there. They tend to have thin leaves. So if they cook it in a stir fry, it'll cook really fast and cook at the same rate as the other vegetables that they're adding to the stir fry.
Oh.
If you try to stir fry a real thick leaf cabbage, sometimes the cabbage takes a lot longer than the other vegetables.
Okay, so when you say flat, meaning it's not a big ball-shaped head?
No, it's really a tender sweet is really a flat-headed cabbage. It's really cool looking.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Huh. And Chinese cabbage? I have hardly ever grown it, and yet I enjoy it when I have it, when someone cooks with it or whatever, I enjoy it. So is that harder, easier, the same?
Chinese cabbage is similar to growing regular cabbage, and it's easier than growing broccoli or cauliflower because Chinese cabbage naturally has some good heat tolerance. The crop originates in Asia in areas where it's traditionally hot and humid. So you can grow Chinese cabbage in hot weather in the summer, and it'll do pretty well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I can't remember if I've ever, but I don't think I've ever really grown it. And yet it looks so good. And as I said, I enjoy it when I do have it to eat. So, and then one that strikes me as really hard, and that I've never succeeded with, and now comes in colors in recent years, is cauliflower.
Yeah, cauliflower is definitely, I would say, the most difficult of the brassicas to grow successfully.
Mm-hmm.
It really, even the varieties that have the best heat tolerance don't do well if the heat gets really extreme, or in particular, if you get wide fluctuations in the weather where you might have a 50 degree one day and then the next day it's 80, it really creates havoc for the plant and causes the heads not to form properly.
Right.
So it's really best in the fall, but if you're going to grow it in the spring, you have to choose the correct varieties and just realize that if you have really a bad stretch of weather, it may not do so well. And another thing about cauliflower is it definitely needs to have high fertility and adequate water, even more so than broccoli and cabbage do. If it doesn't get those two things, it really won't do very well.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense when you look at the plant and you look at what it's trying to accomplish if it were to perform in a peak manner. You know, it's a pretty big undertaking, right? I mean, from that little seed, you're going to have this big head. I mean, water makes sense and fertility makes sense. It looks like a hard job to produce that.
Right. It has to make a real big plant and then it has to produce a big head from that. So, yes, it's a lot more, you're asking a lot more from the plant than you would broccoli.
Right. What about the green stem cauliflowers? I've read about them, but I've never tried them. What's that about?
Yeah, those are exciting. The green stem types, those are also from Asia, and they also grow those quite a bit in areas that are hot and humid. And if you look at them, they look a lot like a traditional white cauliflower. But if you turn them over, the stems are pale green rather than white. And the curd is usually not quite as white. It's usually just a slight tinge of orange, and they tend to be a little bit looser, like they get called loose curd types a lot as well. And there are several things that I think about the loose curd types or green stem types that make them a lot easier to grow than the white types. What I've noticed when we've grown these is that in heat or nutrient stress, they tend to come out of it and perform a lot better than their traditional white types.
Oh.
And also another thing is that the florets are looser, so when you cut them from the heads, they're a lot easier to cook with because they're a little bit smaller. And the flavor is also quite a bit sweeter. They're very flavorful.
Huh. That sounds like it's worth a try if one wants to try cauliflower. You know what I mean? That sounds more forgiving, a little more forgiving.
Well, we're user-friendly. And just if you grow those, just recognize that when you look at the head, there's going to be a slight yellow color rather than white, and that's perfectly normal and okay, and it's not a problem.
One of my favorite vegetables of all is Brussels sprouts. You know, and maybe it's just because it's such a preposterous creature, you know, when it's full of sprouts. There's this big, tall thing that's got all these crazy little satellites on the stem. And, you know, it's a funny thing. And when I succeed with it, I just feel so victorious. And also, frankly, because at, you know, like the fall holidays or like Thanksgiving time, I mean, in the organic market, they're pretty expensive at that time of year. So if you've grown your own, you really feel like you got your money's worth, right, out of your seeds and then some. So what about Brussels sprouts? Are they easier / harder, or is there a timing? It seems like there's a timing with those especially.
Yeah, I would say timing is a big issue. We like to sow the seeds in the greenhouse in May, and then we transplant around the last week of May, beginning of June. I'm sorry, we sow the seeds in Maine in the beginning of May and then transplant around the 1st of June.
Right.
And then that means when the crop is maturing, it'll be doing so when the weather is cooling down, so that you're way more likely to get a successful harvest than if you were to, say, start them in April, where they're going to be growing through the whole hot growing season.
Okay.
And also, like cauliflower, Brussels sprouts really need quite a bit of fertility and quite a bit of water. If they don't get those two things, they really don't do that well.
So just for perspective, you're talking about a set out date around early June. What's that relative to like your frost date or when you'd put out, say, tomatoes or something? Is that around your frost date or is that after or before or what?
We put out tomatoes around the first week of June usually. Our frost date up here is usually right around Memorial Day or so.
Okay. So even though Brussels sprouts are more of a, quote, cool season crop because they take a long time, we're putting them out when we might be putting out our warm season, like our tomatoes or something. So we don't want to start them too early and have them, like you said, be trying to mature in like August or July or something. That's not a good thing.
Right. They don't mind growing when it's hot. They're perfectly happy. It's when they're starting to put out the sprouts. If it's real hot, that's when they really don't like that. But if they're starting to set the sprouts when the weather's cooling off, you really get the firm sprouts that are real good quality. And then once you start getting some frost on them, that's when the flavor really sweetens up and improves.
Yeah. So in the last couple few minutes, I wanted to just talk a little bit about some of the, again, as long as I've been gardening, I've been using the references. It used to be in the catalog and then, of course, on the internet in the Growers Library online. Lots of information in there. And as I mentioned before, you've contributed to it. So kind of just give us a little bit of a tour, you know, a couple of little highlights of what can we find there? Like I love I have one on my site too. I built a seed starting calculator, you know, when to start seeds. And you have that and lots of other kinds of videos and articles and so forth. Tell us a little bit. I think you have a planting program grid kind of a thing also that you've told me about.
Yeah. At Johnny's, we like to give our customers a lot of information to make them successful too, rather than just sell them seeds. And if you look on the website or in the catalog, we'll have what we call planting programs. So, for example, if you pulled up a planting program for broccoli, it will tell you which varieties are suitable for transplanting and harvesting in which seasons. That way, you won't make the mistake of planting a broccoli variety that likes to mature in cool weather in the spring and have it mature in a hot weather and be unsuccessful. So those planting programs are real helpful.
Okay.
We do those for cauliflower and as well. And for some other crops.
Okay. So obviously we'll also give some links to some of the articles that I referred to, like the one about the different types of broccoli and broccoli relatives and so forth that you've contributed to. Are you already, it's when we're speaking, it's early April. Are you already out in your own garden yet? Is it the soil ready yet for you? Have you planted anything in your garden, Steve?
Not quite, Margaret. It's getting close, but it's probably a little wet and cool yet up in Maine. Probably in the next week, I'll be able to poke around a little bit and maybe plant some peas.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. It's been mucky here, it's just we've been having some windy days, so it's been starting to dry out. And I think normally I try to get the peas in earlier, but I think it's going to be this weekend before it really feels okay. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. You're a little bit earlier than we are being down to Connecticut.
Yeah. Down in that direction. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to speak to you and to get some advice on growing some of these brassicas and especially the timing and the fact that selecting the right variety is so important to success. So I appreciate your making the time and I'll talk to you again soon, I hope. Thanks.
Well, you're welcome. And thanks for having me, Margaret.
Programming and underwriting support from Garden Tool Company. Garden Tool Company's wide selection of heirloom quality tools for your gardening passion is backed by outstanding customer service, fast shipping, and ongoing support. GardenToolCompany.com. Programming and underwriting support from Brushwood Nursery. For more than 20 years, Brushwood Nursery has shipped the finest selection of clematis and other vines all over the United States with full gallon-sized plant and free shipping. Their website is full of beautiful pictures and information on growing clematis. Brushwoodnursery.com.
And thanks to all of you for listening. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Stitcher or iTunes or Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or on Facebook and on Instagram as @awaytogarden. And happy gardening meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.